Guten Tag, everybody. We're holding Kapitel Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Last week we learned how Shaul was waiting at Gilgal, as per the instructions of the Navi Shmuel, and he was faced with a terrible, terrible dilemma. Shmuel HaNavi told him to wait for 7 days until he comes, and not to do anything before he comes. Problem was that Shaul sees the reality. There were people running away from the battlefront. There were people that were hiding, people that were going me'ever le'yardin. And Shaul HaMelech rationalized, listen, I waited for 7 days. It's already the seventh day. There's no sign of Shmuel. And he decided to bring the carbon. What could be so terrible? I'm not starting a war yet. At least, let me appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu by bringing the carbon oil. And just as he brings the carbon, Shmuel appears. Vayomer Shmuel El Shaul. And Shmuel said to Shaul, Niskolta, you acted foolishly. You did not keep the commandment of Hashem your God that he commanded you. Ki ata hechin Hashem es mamlachtecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have established your kingdom El Yisrael ad Olam. It doesn't say Al Yisrael, it says El Yisrael, which we teach sometimes the Aleph and the Ayin are interchangeable. So it's teached, he would have established your kingdom El Yisrael ad Olam. What is the Lashon Niskolta? You have acted foolishly. So the Alchemy Amleya says that beside human logic, you were 100% right. You're right. You know, the people are leaving you. There are people hiding. The plishtim are getting stronger. Perhaps you're right. But it was considered foolishness mitzad the cheshbon of Nevuah. A melech has to listen to Nevuah. A melech can't use his own seichel because a melech, more than anybody, has to realize that the fate of Klal Yisrael is dependent on the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is given over to you by the Navi. And if the Navi told you to wait, mitzad that higher seichel of the Navi Niskolta, you were foolish. We mentioned in the beginning when it came to anointing a king, that the king has to be like a city clock. And we said there's a famous story how the people in one city had to have one, they wanted to have established one central clock that would keep the exact time, and everybody would adjust their watches according to the clock. They made one big mistake. They put the clock within arm's reach of everybody in the city. So when one person passed the clock and he saw, hey, time doesn't stem with my watch, so he changed the clock to his watch. Then another guy passed by and he changed it according to his watch. They never had the accurate time. So one chacham came up with the idea, you know, what about if we put the clock way up, it'll be beyond the reach of people, and that way they won't be able to fiddle with the time or have the exact time. The king has to be someone that's beyond the reach of people. His seichel has to function above the influence of people. He can't be influenced by money. He can't be influenced by power. He cannot take political matters into the situation. He has to do exactly what's right. Here we see that even if the physical reality shows that he should act, if the Navi told him one thing, he has to go after the words of the Navi, even if al pi sichle, al pi hiseichle yoshar, it's connected to what the Navi says, he has to subjugate, he has to be mevatel his das to the das of the Navi. The Maralmi Prad, in his Hakdama to Pirkei Avos, says a very ridiculous thing. He says that a person was created basar v'dam. He's a glob of flesh, like a man. And a glob of flesh cannot do anything in life. So in order for a person, a human being, to succeed in life, to be able to manage his way through the different nisyanos of life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him seichel. But seichel is only like a little candle in the darkness. It can show you the light immediately in front of you, but it doesn't show you what's ahead. You can't see the entire picture. So how is a person supposed to see the entire picture? How is a person, Takeh, supposed to manage? That is Seichel HaTeira. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. Seichel HaTeira. Kiner mitzvah. Person that keeps mitzvahs, it's like a ner. Teira oir. Das Teira is like a tremendous fire that lights up the entire area. You're able to see way ahead. You're able to see fully how you have to conduct yourself. Because man, we had Nevi'ah. That Nevuah was the Das Teira, which was Lamaila from a human Seichel. And that's what the Navi was telling him over here in this sculptor. Seichel HaYosher, Alpi human logic, you would talk it right. But Alpi, the higher Seichel, you don't understand what goes on behind the scenes. And as long as you have the Navi to tell you what to do, then you should have gone bust with the Navi. We find throughout history, when people did not contact the Navi, or people didn't listen to the Navi, we find that it got them into a lot of trouble. Yeshiyahu HaMelech lived towards the end of Bayis Rishon. He was a tremendous tzaddik. Yeshiyahu HaMelech, he got rid of all of the Avodah Zarah in the land. The Avodah Zarah of Menashe HaMelech, the people that preceded him, he got rid of all of the Avodah Zarah. And then Paro Nechei of Mitzrayim, he wanted to wage war against a country in the northeast of Eretz Yisrael. And he wanted to pass through Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to use Eretz Yisrael as a shortcut. Yeshiyahu HaMelech, he said, the Pasuk says in Parashas B'chukaisai, the cherev leisavar ba'aretzichem, a sword will not pass by your land, afilu cherev shel sholem, even if he's not waging a war against you, even a peaceful cherev that's waged against other people shall not pass through your land. So Yeshiyahu HaMelech insisted that he's not allowing Paroi to go through his land. Had he contacted the Navi would have told him that is only said when Klal Yisrael is perfect and they're on a very high madrega. But although Yeshiyahu HaMelech, he wiped out all Avodah Zarah, he didn't realize that there were still people that were practicing Avodah Zarah in secret. They developed a thing where they put a pesel on their door, and the two doors opened up, so when the police used to come in and check for the Avodah Zarahs, the door opened up, it didn't look like anything. And then when the door closed again after they left, it became an Avodah Zarah again. And he wasn't aware of that. So what happened? He told Paroi he can't come in. And when Paroi came in, he went out to fight against him. And Paroi's men, they shot arrows at him, that he became filled with arrows with holes like a sieve. Mamish. So the Navi went over. He wanted to hear. He saw him mumbling things as he was dying. He heard him saying, Tzadiku Hashem, Kipihu Marisi, Hashem is the tzaddik, because I went against his word. And that the Navi said, Ruach apeinu Mashiach Hashem. But had he listened, had he asked the Navi, had he consulted with the Navi, then he wouldn't have gone out against Paroi to begin with. There's one example where Yeshiyahu was a tzaddik gomer, but afal pi kein, you have to consult with the Navi, you have to consult with a higher das. We find that the Chashmeinoim, Ramban says about the Chashmeinoim, if not for the Mesiris Nefesh of the Chashmeinoim, Torah would have been Nishtakach Yisrael, Lashkicham Torah Secha, Olahavira Mechukei Ritzainecha. If not for the tremendous heroism of the Chashmeinoim, then Chas V'Sholom, the Torah would have been forgotten. And yet, the Chashmeinoim met a terrible fate at the end. Every one of the Chashmeinoim was wiped out. Why? They didn't follow Das Teira. Shimon was the last one of the original Chashmeinoim. A hero, tremendous hero. And he fought heroic Melchomis for Klal Yisrael. But then you have to think, settle down. And just as it was about time to establish the Malchus and have peaceful times in Eretz Yisrael, he decided it would be a good idea to be Mekarev the Tzedukim. That way it'll be peaceful, be Mekarev them. And we'll have them as part of the government, and that way things will be peaceful. The problem was he took for granted the power of the Tzedukim and their influence, and because he brought them in slowly but surely, it ended up that Shimon's children were wiped out because of the Tzedukim. His son-in-law was a Tzeduki, and he ended up killing him and his mishpacha. The successors to the Chashmeinoi throne, they also went against Das Teira. By that time already, there was no nevuah, but there was Das Torah, there was the Chachamim to listen to. They didn't listen to Das Torah. What did they do? They went and they were forcefully Megayer people from Edom. They felt that they wanted a strong army, and the more soldiers in the army, the stronger they are. But the Chachamim felt otherwise. The Chachamim felt to fight a battle, you have to have people that are Yirei Shemayim, and a forced Geirus is not really a Geirus B'lev Shalim. They didn't listen to the Chachamim, and at the end, Hordas, the famous herald, he was an eved of the Chashmenoim. He became a big general. He became very powerful. And one day he decided to rebel against his masters, and he killed out all of the Chashmenoim. The Gemara says that anybody that says Kalaimir Yibes Chashmenoim, after he's really an eved. Whole story, Gemara Bava Basra, about that. Again, there was a perfect example where they did not follow Das Torah, even after Nevuah was bottled. The Chachamim, the Chachmei HaTorah, they're the ones that have that tremendous flame that's able to light up the way. And these people meant well. Chashmenoim meant well. Shimon was one of the original Chashmenoim. He Zichr meant well. But meaning well alone doesn't do the job. We have to listen to that flame, the Or HaTorah, we have to listen to that. The Chachamim are able to see things in a way that we're not able to. Bayis Sheni was the same thing. Bayis Sheni, you had the Zealots, the Beryonim, that wanted to fight against the Romans, and there was a very good reason to fight against the Romans. Romans were a terrible people. They oppressed the Yidden terribly. But the Chachamim saw, as strong as the Yidden were always tremendous warriors, courageous warriors, tremendous warriors. But the Chachamim saw that the Romans outnumber us. They're too powerful. There's no way in the world you're going to beat them. And the Romans laid siege to Yerushalayim. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Gittin, the Gemara there with Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, the Gemara says that the Chachamim tried persuading everybody, let's not fight against the Romans. And the Briyanim saw that the Chachamim were complacent in their eyes, and they didn't want to go out and fight. There was enough storage of food and different supplies to keep them in Yerushalayim without having to leave for over 20 years. The three rich men of Yerushalayim, Kalba Savua, and Agbin Ben Gurion, and Tzitzakesis, they were able to supply Yerushalayim with food for over 20 years. And the Briyanim, in their zealousness to fight against the Romans, they burnt it all down, and that caused a tremendous churban, caused a tremendous hunger against the words of the Chachamim. And then they realized too late what their actions did. That very same Gemara says a Moedik thing. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, he wanted to somehow appease Vespasian, Aspasianus. He wanted to appease him and see if he could spare anybody during the Churban. So somehow or other he managed to smuggle his way out. And he came to Aspasianus and he said, Shalom Alecha Malka, Shalom Alecha Malka. Peace unto you, O King, peace unto you, O King. So Aspasianus told him, you're chayiv misa, for one of two reasons. Number one, I'm not a king. And if you call me a king when the emperor is in Rome, you're a meirid b'malchus. If I am a king, so why did you first come now? Why didn't you come until now? So Yochanan ben Zakkai answered back, yes, you are a melech. It says, v'halavonoin ba'adir yipa. The levonoin will fall into the hands of an adir. V'ein levonoin ele Yerushalayim. Levonain is referring to Yerushalayim, the Ein Adir Ela Melech. If Yerushalayim has fallen into your hands, it's a sign that you're the king. Now, this is a Peladiki Gemara. You walk over to a guy, a general, not the king, and you tell him, peace unto you, O king. He says, I'm not the king. What do you call me the king for? Remove the mountains. He says, I have a proof from the Pasuk that you're the king. Tumun kikim v'mishig, you know, like, yeah, but the fact of the matter is that the emperor. Sure enough, a couple of minutes later, an emissary arrives from Rome. That's the emperor died, and they decided to make you the king. Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't have to read the newspaper to see that they appointed a new emperor in Rome. He was able to see it from the Psukim. The Chachamim, the Gedolei Torah, they have that vision in the Torah. They're able to see what's happening. The Gemara tells us that originally, the Medrash tells us, so when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he says, Vayihi Or, says, Yihi Or Vayihi Or. So Rashi brings down the Chazal that says that originally HaKadosh created a tremendous light. It wasn't just a physical light. There was a spiritual light there, where people were able to see things beyond what meets the eye. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the Rishon are going to use that light, so Mimele he hid it for the Osir Lovei. The Svarim HaKadoshim bring down, where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu hide that light? In the Torah. And the Tzaddikim that delve into the Torah. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody that knows how to learn, or everybody that's a Talmud Chacham, is automatically considered Das Torah. That's not what it means. Kol Yisrael has a good smell. They have a good chush or reyach. For who is on that madrega, he's totally immersed, totally orangutan, yoimon v'layla, and also has seichel hayosher. They have a smell for who Das Torah is, who they could rely on. That is the Or HaGonuz that's hidden in the Torah. And there's only Yechidim that really have that Koyach. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, of course you're the Melech. It says so in Torah and Tanakh. And Taki, he was right. That's something that we have to realize, Bizman HaZek, because the Choshech today is darker than ever. The Gemara tells us, Miyoyim Shechorav Beis HaMikdosh, Ein Lecho Yoyim B'loy Klola. There is not a day that goes by without a curse. Amar Ravi, Ein Lecho Yoyim She'en Kilolosa G'dayla Mishel Yoyim HaKoydim La. There is no day whose Klola is not greater than the day that preceded it. The darkness gets deeper and deeper and deeper. The only way we could survive today is not with our seich, with that little candle. We need that Or HaTorah. We have to consult with people that are greater than us. We have to consult with people that have that flame of Torah. No wonder the Torah calls the Gedolim the Ein HaEda. They are the eyes of the Eda. The Pasuk says, if you would have listened to the Navi, then Heichin Hashem es mamlachtecha ad oilam. Heichin Hashem es mamlachtecha ad oilam. Unfortunately, you lost that. Zot Rashi, kishepoiskin lo gedula lo adam. When min hashamayim, when they give over greatness to a person, poiskin loy ula deiraisav. It's a Gemara Masechtas Megillah, daf yud gimel amid beis. It's a tremendous chiddush. When they give a person gedula, they give it not only for him, but they give it for his generations as well. Sometimes you can have a treasure, you can have a koyach, and be yodayim, you ruin it. And be yodayim, you lose it. But Shaul, it says, Heichen Hashem es mamlachtecha, El Yisrael ad oilam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu established your malchus ad oilam. In this case, Shaul ruined it. But there are times when people have godless, and the children, they ruin it. There's a Mayudiki Gemara. The Gemara says, on that we say every day, Lo yomushu mipicha, umipi zaracha, umipi zera zaracha, Omar Hashem me'atov yad oilam. State in the Gemara that if there's Torah in a certain family for three generations, mipicha, mipizaracha, mipizerazaracha, Omar Hashem me'atov yad oilam. From there and on, the mishpacha becomes Torah ma'akzeres al aksanya shalom. The Torah returns to where it's welcome, it returns to its aksanya, to its inn. So somebody once asked for Chaim Volozhiner, we come from the Avos HaKadoshim, three generations of Kedusha, who's greater than the Avos HaKadoshim, the Merkava, the Shekhinah, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankiv. And yet, we see that not every family is the Torah, Machzeres, Alechzan, Yishalah. Probably every single one of us in our past, somewhere down the line, there were three generations in a row that were great in Torah. And yet, not everybody do we see that is automatically the Torah, Machzeres, Alechzan, Yishalah. Why is that? Reb Chaim Volozhiner answered, Marshal Amad of Adayna. It's a person that used to go on vacation to a certain inn. And every time he went there, they treated him with kavod, they treated him so nicely, mechabedim, and they, everything was beautiful, it was gevaldik. One year he comes to the inn and it's all boarded up. There's a big sign out there, private, don't come in, you know, visitors not welcome. It's very strange. So he stopped going there, he went to a different inn. And this went on for 1 year, after a second year, after a third year. And one day he happens to meet the owner of the inn that he used to frequent. He says, what happened to you? How come I don't see you anymore? You know, we treated you so nicely. We treated you with COVID, with respect. Mamish, you had a good time by us. Why did you stop coming? He says, I didn't want to stop coming, but I came one time and I saw that we weren't welcome. There was a big sign, it was boarded up. Visitors not welcome. So I, what am I supposed to do? So I took my business someplace else. So Dr. Chaim Volozhiner, the Gemara says, HaTorah Machzeres Al Achsan Yoshela. The Torah comes back to its inn, where it's welcome. If the family is an achsanya satayra, if they welcome it, if they're machshiv it, then there's a special siyata d'shmaya that the Torah keeps on returning where it's welcome. But sometimes you have a family with various generations with takia, big talmidei chachamim, but somewhere along the line they stopped being machshiv Torah and they stopped welcoming the Torah, and in such a case takia, it's no longer welcome. The Torah does not come back because the achsanya is boarded up. It doesn't welcome it. It's not much of it. It's interesting. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, Avchav Gimel Amid Beis, Omar Ravit, Dirochim Rabbonon, one that loves Rabbonon, Havi Le Benin Rabbonon. He will have sons that are Rabbonon. Demoiki Rabbonon, one that's Mechabit Rabbonon, Havi Le Chasan Vosa Rabbonon. He'll have sons in law that are Rabbonon. Now, it could be that that's the Pshat. We already have those three generations. The problem is the Achsanya stopped welcoming the Torah. They stopped having their chashivas of Torah. But one that's a rochim de rabbonon, and he shows them chashivas, and he becomes an Achsanya again, then the Torah returns once again to the Achsanya shel Torah. These words, had you listened to the Navi, ki ata heichin Hashem es mamlachtecha el Yisrael ad oylam. What does that mean? Does that mean that Shaul HaMelech and his family would have been kings forever? The Malchus would have come from Shevet Binyamin? Ramban, the famous Ramban, it's the very same Ramban we mentioned before about the Chasmei Noam. Ramban says in Parashas Vayechi, on the Pasuk Bayankev Avinu, Lo Yosser Shevet Mi Yehuda, Unichoykik, Ben Raglov, the scepter, the rod of Malchus should not leave Yehuda, Ad Ki Yom Yishila, until Mashiach comes, it's always going to be in the hands of Yehuda. So how could the Pasuk say over here that Shaul HaMelech and his family would have been Melachim Ad Olam, they're from Shevet Binyamin, and the Malchus is supposed to come from Shevet Yehuda? This, by the way, is the reason the Ramban says that the Chasmei Noam lost the Malchus, because they took over the Melucha for the Kahanim. So how could the Pasuk say over here that the Malchus would have remained in the hands of Shevet Binyamin Ad Olam? So the Ramban says, it's Shaykh in one of two ways. If, let's say, Shaul HaMelech would not have sinned, maybe he would have been the Melech on part of Klal Yisrael. We know that Klal Yisrael was divided into two chalokim. You had Yehud and Binyamin, you had the rest of Klal Yisrael, so it may very well be that he would have been the Melech over Binyamin. Only Binyamin alone, or a chalok of Klal Yisrael, he wouldn't have been Melech over the rest. And Yehuda would have been Melech over the rest. Or it could be that Yehuda would have been the Iker Melech, and he would have been a Mishnah Melech. He would have been second to the king, also some form of Malchus, but not the Melech. So the Mepharshim say, according to this, is very medugdik, the Pasuk, if you remember, when we said the Pasuk, the lesson of the Pasuk is, Ki ata heichen Hashem es mamlachticho el Yisrael ad oylam. It doesn't say al Yisrael, it says el Yisrael. You would have been established as a melech within Yisrael, but you wouldn't have been a ruler al Yisrael, totally al Yisrael. Why? Either because it only would have been part of Yisrael, or else you only would have been secondary to the melech. You wouldn't have been on top of all of them. On the other hand, in the very next pasuk it says, "Va'atom amlachtecha lo yisakum, bikish Hashem lo ish kelevavei." Hashem seeked out a man according to his will. He established him, he commanded him to be a ruler on top of his nation. Notice it's meduyik in the pasuk, this shot of the Ramban, that even if Shaul would have been a king, it would have been only on a chelek, not over everybody, or it would have been under the melech of Yehuda. This is the shita of the Ramban. The truth is that the Ramban says it bekitzer, but this is mamish what the Ramban says. On the other hand, the Ralbag over here learns differently. The Ralbag says that Ad Olam, we find in the Torah, does not mean forever. By an Eved Ivri, that's a Nirtza, that after 6 years he gets his ear pierced. It says va'avodai li'olam, he serves his master forever. Over there it doesn't mean mamish forever. It means adaylam shel yovel. Chana and Shiras Chana, she said about Shmuel that Shmuel should be in the Beis Hamikdash in the Mishkan ad olam. Of course, it doesn't mean forever. Ad olam means over a lengthy period of time. So, according to the Ralbag, that's what the pasuk means over here. He would have been here for a lengthy period of time. The Shemi Shmuel says al pidim mekubalim umayri the kipshad over here about what would have been with Shaul HaMelech. He says the kavana el yain of Hakadosh Baruch Hu was a very haichem achshava of what Hakadosh Baruch Hu's plans were for the malchus. He wanted that Shaul should wipe out Amalek. That's what the plan was. That would be the b'chinas Mashiach ben Yosef. We know that before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a Mashiach ben Yosef. There's going to be a Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef is going to wipe out Amalek and the Sinai before him. And then is going to come Mashiach ben David. So Shaul HaMelech was supposed to be that Mashiach ben Yosef. Even though he doesn't come from Yosef, there is a chazal that says that Amalek will fall in the hands of Yosef. But there's another chazal that says that Ein Zara shall Amalek, Ein Zara shall Yosef Neiflin, Elo Biad Zara shall Rachel. So Binyamin shares with Yosef, his brother from Rachel. He shares that quality of being able to wipe out Amalek, being able to wipe out Mordechai in the times of Purim. Right? He fought against Amalek then, although they weren't totally wiped out. But Binyamin has such a kayach also. So the Kalvana El Yain over here was that Shaul HaMelech should wipe out Amalek. Then what would happen? Then David HaMelech, when he takes over as the king, he would be able to build the Beis HaMikdash himself. Why? What was the reason why David HaMelech wasn't able to build the Beis HaMikdash? Because he was an Ish Damim. He had to fight wars against the enemies of Klal Yisrael. The divine plan was that Shaul HaMelech would wipe out all of the enemies, including Amalek. David HaMelech would not have to fight any Milchamas, and the male of David HaMelech would be able to build the Beis HaMikdash, and then there's a good chance that it would have stood forever. And later on in the Pesukim we see that it could be that David would have been the main king, and Yonis and Ben Shaul would have been second, he would have been the Mishnah of the Melech. That was the Kavana, the way the Shemi Shmuel learns. Unfortunately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created things straight, and, you know, man comes up with his egin and cheshbainis, and he messes things up. But this was the Kavana El Yaina, hechin as kisrach ha'ilam, it could be, Yainasim would have remained forever as the Mishnah of the Melech, and that was the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that we see what would have happened, what taka did Shaul HaMelech do wrong? I mean, Lamaisi had very good excuses. He waited for 7 days. The people are running away. Mamish running away. We'll see later on. He had 600 men left when he actually fought against the Plishtim. All he did was bring a carbon. He had many excuses. So what's taka the pshat? See, there's numerous pshatim that are brought down. Number one. Hayois, we brought down from the Arizal last week or 2 weeks ago. Hayois, Shaul HaMelech had such a heich neshama, a very high neshama, that wasn't nivgan, it wasn't tainted by the chait of the Eitz Hadas, more was expected of him. And even the slightest aveira could take him away. Shaul ba'achas ba'olzolei. Even one aveira caused Shaul to lose his malchus. It also could be that since be'etzem, malchus is supposed to belong to Shevet Yehuda. And this was sort of like, not like the Shemi Shmuel, Kifi Pshutai, Shevet Binyamin came into the Malchus just as a substitute, the way most Mepharshim learn. So it was easy for Shevet Binyamin to lose the Malchus. But there's other reasons that are brought down in this farm. I want to say over Mayu the Kipshat that was said over by one of the great Goyim in Litte, Hagoyim Rebleib Vilkamir. He was the Panavizh Rav's father-in-law. He says like this, in the parsha of Tamar giving birth to twins, the Torah goes into detail telling us how the birth took place. It says the first child stuck out his hand. He brought it back, and then the other one burst out. And they said, Ma paratzta olecha peretz, what did you burst out for? He came out, and then the one that stuck his hand out originally and brought it back in, he followed.
obviously, if the Torah tells us this, the Torah, there's something deep behind this. What's the inyan over here? There's numerous pshatim on this. But Rav Leib of Vilkinis said, "Amayu the kipshat." The Torah is telling us over here, the hanhoga of a melech and the hanhoga of a navi. We know that Peretz is the father of Malchus. Al Yad Ish ben Parzi, from Peretz came the inyan of Malchus. Zorach was the father of Nevi'im. Zorach was the one that stuck out his hand first. The Navi points the way, Zeh HaDerech Yehuba. This is the way you have to go. He shows the Melech the way. Only after the Navi points out the way, then comes the Melech, he walks out, and he follows the direction of the Navi. Afterwards, the Navi follows the Melech, the Navi is also Mechuyev in Kavod Malchus. This is the relationship between the Melech and the Navi. Panovich Rav said this over, the Chabina Rav, Yaakov Rosenheim, they were both Nifter in 1965. So they Nifter within a short period of each other. So he said over this in a Hesbid, this was the relationship between Yaakov Rosenheim and the Chabina Rav. Chabina Rav was Das Teira. Yaakov Rosenheim, he followed, he was like a melech, he was the Nazi. He was the head of the world Aguda, and he followed the directives of the Chabina Rav and other Gedolim. But this is really a lesson how a melech has to go. He can only move with the direction of the Navi. And if the Navi told him, Zeh HaDerech Yehuba, do not deviate, and he went against that, so it wasn't just Stamen Aveira. It was a Pshia in the Malchus itself. A Pshia in the Malchus itself, this is why he lost it. The Tnai that with which the Malchus was given over to him was Bidavke if he listens to the Navi. That's reason number one. Reason number two. When Yaakov Avinu gives the last brachas to the Shvatim, Ruvain b'chayriyata. Ruvain, you are my firstborn. Koichi v'reishas oini. You are my strength and my first vigor. Yeser se'eis v'yeser oz. You were foremost in rank and foremost in power. However, pachas kamayim, because you were quick, you were impetuous like water, al toysar. You're not going to have anything extra. You're not going to be foremost. Ki olisa mishkevei avicha. When you mounted the bed of your father, oz chilalta yitzui ola, then you desecrated my couch when you ascended. Zot Rashi. Ruvein b'ni b'chayri yata koichi v'reishis oini. Zot Rashi. Yeser se'es. You were supposed to have the kahuna. Yeser oz. You're supposed to be the Melech. Malchus was supposed to come from Reuven. Why did he lose both of them? Pachas kamayim al taisa. Because you were quick in acting, because you didn't have that savlonus, you were mavuho, you were in turmoil, you acted not in thinking, that is why you lost the kahuna and the Malchus. This is a tremendous, tremendous mida that we have to have. We have to have it. And this is something especially that the Melech has to have. The Melech can't act in an impetuous way. The Melech has to be b'menucha. He has to make a decision. Total menuchas hanefesh. Shaul was frazzled over here. We mentioned last week that some of us say that the people saw the pachad on him. He was frazzled and he hurried. A Melech can't do that. A Melech has to have menuchas hanefesh. I think we mentioned already. I'll say it over again because somebody think I said. And I'm saying it, I am lehepach of this, you know, I get to total, you know. But I wish I had this midah of straight menuchas hanefesh. Rav Lezer Levine, Zeichet Tzadik Levrache, was the chief rav of Detroit. And this was told to me by one of his grandchildren, this story. So he once went to a doctor for a routine checkup, his anicle took him. And the doctor's checking him out, he says, Rabbi Levine, I think that you're about to have a heart attack. You have to be rushed to the hospital. The hospital wasn't far away. The Einichel was going to drive him to the hospital. He puts on his undershirt slowly. He takes his time. Then he puts on his tzitzis slowly. Like he's not, mama's not frazzled in the least. And the Einichel's going, to shook it. You know, we gotta go. You know, puts on his shirt. Puts on his kapote. His hat slowly. Puts on his coat, and the ankle runs to the car. Slowly, he walks to the car, slowly. Like mamish, like he's taking a regular spatzir during midday. They rushed to the hospital, and sure, it didn't end up, it was nothing. It was something, an accelerated heartbeat, it wasn't a heart attack at all. And after a day in the hospital, he went back home. So the Enikel asked him, he says, Zayd, I don't understand you. I was going with sugar. You know, the doctor says you might be having a heart attack. How did you have that menucha to be able to walk slowly? Chances are, if he would have gotten excited, it might have accelerated the heartbeat even more. But he answered him. He says, 8 years in Kelm, working on menuchas and nefesh, doesn't just fall by the wayside. They worked on this. It was an avoda. They ingrained it within themselves. Don't be nispol from the world. Menucha, things will work out. This same Reb Lezer Levine, and I remember where I say these stories. I think I said it here once before. As the chief rav of Detroit, he had to sometimes be mesader gittin. So there was a group of rabbonim that had to be mesader a certain get, where they had to talk to the husband to give a get, and they had to persuade him. It wasn't easy. So they're talking to him, and Reb Lezer Levine is speaking to him, Divrei Seichel, in the middle. Pulls out a gun and points it at Reb Lezer Levine. So the other rabbanon, they fell to the floor under the table. Reb Lezer said, give me that gun now. The guy became so tumult, he handed the gun over. I'm a Samaisa. You do a dicker story. That's just someone. They worked on Menuchas HaNefesh. He says, in Kelm, they used to work on this. Naftali Friedl Zatzal was a rav here in town. He once said over, he was walking together with his Rebbe, Rabbi Elio Dessler, the Tzadik Lebrach, the Baal Michtam Elio. They were walking together and they had to make a train. And if they would miss this train, they'd have to wait another half hour. Rabbi Friedler started walking quicker, you know. Rabbi Dessler says, we don't walk quickly. We don't run, we don't walk quickly. Menuchadik, that's not our mahalach. They worked on this. To us, it seems so strange. We're always on the run, we're always moving, we're always tumult, and that's why we don't think clearly. But the Balei Musar, the people that worked on themselves, Rav Dessler was from Kelm. I'll tell you something interesting. I once read, Adam Godel said, every yeshiva kemat today has a zecher. You have the Miri Yeshiva, you have the Kamenetz Yeshiva, you have the Telzi Yeshiva, you have Slabotki Yeshiva. You have, every yeshiva has a Zeicher, the Vardik has a Zeicher. There is no Kelm. Kelm was never reestablished after the war. So Adam Godel said it would be impossible to, it would be impossible. It wouldn't be the real thing. Every other yeshiva, I mean, I learned in Telz, there was a lot, especially in the years that I learned there was a lot there that Mamish imitated it. People that were in Tells originally. But Kelm was a one of a kind. It was not shaykh to imitate. They worked. And Menuchas HaNefesh was one of those things that they worked on. Not even to run. I mean, picture the way we are. You know, we come to davening, which is tumult. We rush into davening. You know, we rush out of davening. We rush into a shir. We rush out of a shir. We rush into Shabbos. You know, Shabbos, in the times of Chazal, they were ready for Shabbos hours before they went out. It was a whole avoda greeting the Shabbos in Mitoich Menucha. Shabbos Haivel Mendelovich, his children are made that from 12 noon in the house, you could hear a pin drop. That's how the Menucha was. Shabbos Haivel said that we were mechanach the next generation how to keep Shabbos, but we were never mechanach them how to keep Erev Shabbos. You have to prepare for Menucha. You have to prepare for Menucha Shabbos. And during the day, we also need Menucha. We're always in a rush. But if this is true by regular people, Kal v'chomer ben benoy shel Kal v'chomer, that is true about the Melech that sits on the Kisei Malchus that makes the decisions for Klal Yisrael. Kal v'chomer ben benoy shel Kal v'chomer. So this was a taina, niskolta. That's not what a Melech does. Besides listening to the Navi, you can't become to tumult. You can't become a mavoil. You have to act al pi menuchas hanefesh. A good to luck, everybody.
I told one of my sons that I go to
Mm-hmm.